Welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show here on KVRU 105.7 FM. All right, well, we are celebrating the changing of the seasons today here at The Forecast because this weekend was a busy one. Our hometown Seattle Torrent of the PWHL had their last game of the season this weekend, closing out women's hockey here in the Emerald City just for the time being. But in good news, we are opening up the WNBA season. The Storm had their first preseason game this weekend. Needless to say, while the weather is changing outside and inside our sports arenas, we have an amazing show in store for you today. I'm Maggie Mertens, an independent journalist, and the other half of this show is my producer, Jeff Shaw. Stay tuned this hour because we'll be chatting about all those games happening this weekend, PWHL, NWSL, and WNBA. Scores and highlights from around the Sound as well, including UW softball. I'll be chatting about a book publishing this week that might be of interest to women's running fans. Jeff and I will be giving our hot takes. And finally, we'll be rehashing, reliving, and analyzing the inaugural Seattle Torrent season with two of our favorites, none other than Heather Koimunka and Ava Wood, aka 365 Hockey Girl, as this city's first ever pro women's hockey season has come to an end. Stay tuned. This weekend we had a treat. We had the Rain play, the Torrent play, and the Storm play. I want to say that's a first here in Seattle. Unfortunately, the scores were not more positive. Let's start with the Rain game here at Lumen Field, their first game here in Seattle of the season after starting off some of those home games over in Spokane. The Rain were playing the Utah Royals, which we know are a very strong team this season. They ended up losing that game 3-0, which is really a big bummer. Dropped them down to fourth place on the table. They've got 10 points total. Above them on the table right now are the San Diego Wave in first, Portland Thorns in second, and the Utah Royals are in third, also with 10 points, but they do have a better goal differential than the Rain right now. So it sounds like the Rain just really went out and sort of lost some of these points right in the beginning of this game. Defense sort of lacked. The Utah Royals scored their first point in the first minute of the game, and that's just never something you really want to see. And even though there were some valiant attempts to get those goals back, the Rain were just never able to capitalize. But what really caught my attention is that, you know, Jess Fishlock, after announcing this week that she's actually retiring after this season, she ended up getting injured in the 64th minute and was carried off the field, which is, again, not something you want to see. Jeff, did you have any thoughts on this game?
Well, I think the Fishlock injury is concerning. It seems like in today's day and age, when an injury isn't that significant, they usually are like, oh, it's just a bruise. Mm-hmm. And then when they're like, oh, we're going to wait and see, is never a good, sign.
I know.
It's such a bummer because, you know, playing on grass, it was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
People were stoked that they were back in town.
Yeah.
That was definitely a mood killer. But I also think, they got some figuring out to do.
It sounds like it, right? Especially after this. And if you're going to be playing without Fishlock at this point in the season, right? She's really been a backbone of this team.
And she came off the bench. You know, there's some times where like she's like been the main focus, mm-hmm. been the main focus, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely an experienced player. Yeah. They just don't feel super, I don't want to say the word aggressive, but like super dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, right? Because it's like they subbed in Maya Fischel, Adamas, and Maddie Dallin in the second half. And those are, you know, some of the folks that we talked about as being maybe the stronger players or the players to watch this season. So, you know, it does make you think, hopefully there is some different depth here. Maybe there is a different lineup that's going to end up coming out here. Especially if Fishlock's injury is a bad one. It just feels so unfair for Seattle soccer, just given how Megan Rapinoe's last season ended, that Fishlock would would end up getting injured right after announcing retirement. And really, you know, when they do that mid-season, you know, it's because they want to celebrate, right? They want to have that last season that is where they get their flowers and they get to, you know, celebrate the fact that they've been here. She's been part of this league since the beginning, right? She's been part of this team since the very beginning. And so that's just a big bummer in my little sports emotional heart. But hey, it's also the first one back at Lumen. So we'll see, you know, maybe this World Cup will ignite some more enthusiasm and some more ticket sales. And so we'll just be keeping our eye on that. They will be back on the road this Friday, May 1st. They will be playing the Houston Dash.
Did you catch the Torrent game?
I didn't. I was out of town this weekend. I watched the highlights of all of these, but I did hear a ton about the Torrent game because it was their last home game. They did a Pride night for their last home game because they're not going to be playing into, you know, typical Pride season, which I think is so great and such a good opportunity for the PWHL. And they had Brandi Carlile, an actual rock star, come and drop the opening puck, which I think is pretty freaking cool. And again, like, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later in the show, but this team, they just really never quit. And they have, like, so much. So this was another sellout crowd for the Torrent here at Climate Pledge Arena. And Jeff, you mentioned that the Torrent ended up actually being the PWHL team with the highest attendance overall this season, which is pretty amazing for an inaugural season.
That's nuts to me. Well, inaugural season, I think I hate making the comparison, but I think the Kraken maybe led or were one of the top, you know, teams in attendance their opening season just because of, you know, excitement and whatever. And they were not great. But yeah, I think it was, you know, to me, like, what a statement. But we also, like, why does it surprise people? The Mariners constantly lead the MLB attendance. They're in, like, the top five, I think.
Wild. It really is wild. And they're,
for the past 20 years, they've been terrible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, barring I just think, yeah, but I just think, like, it is, like, such a, you know, it is such an interesting thing. I'm pulling up the stat right now. You know, the numbers say league-wide attendance rose 28% from last year. But Seattle, you know, it also, PWHL is interesting because they play those neutral site games, the takeover games. So you kind of, like, numbers, I think, are a little harder.
Yeah.
But the Seattle averaged 12,426 fans, which is, you know, I mean, New York, this is a little sad. New York averaged 4,000 fans.
Yeah. Well, and they play in New Jersey, right? Like, there is this, interesting thing because some of it has to do, I mean, some of it does, I think, have to do with the experience. And, like, when you talk about the Mariners, like, it's because it's a great ballpark. Like, people love going there. Like, love it. It's beautiful. You know, it has great food. It's, like, a good experience. And I think, you know, Climate Pledge, while there are things we don't love about Climate Pledge, it is a good experience and it is a cool arena. And it's in a great location and it's easy to get to. And it's, you know, this is just the kind of thing that really matters when it comes to supporting women's sports, is, like, making it accessible and making it fun and making it seem, you know, as professional as possible and all of that. Yes. Yeah. So, and I think people were really stoked that it was a Pride game too, you know, especially with just the way that Pride games have been handled in the NHL, all of that. I think there's just so much enthusiasm, especially in the PWHL, for, you know, being a more diverse hockey audience. And they really showed out for them during this game. It was also just a really intense game. The regular time, three periods ended 1-1 in a tie. In PWHL, they go to overtime. There were no goals in that overtime period, so they went to a shootout. and they ended up losing in that shootout, which is just a bummer, especially in front of a sellout crowd. You know, Hillary Knight went up to take a second shot in the shootout, and she was the only one to get one, and it just wasn't quite enough. But yeah, this team has so much heart, so much fight, and as we'll talk about a little bit later, the gold plan does help them keep fighting without giving up sort of at the end of the season, so they can fight for that draft spot. And
yeah. But you know what's interesting? The commentators explained something that I hadn't heard.
Oh yes, tell me
before. So Montreal, they needed a win of any kind to clinch the first place spot in the playoffs, and
yeah,
the Torrent needed a win of any kind to clinch the first
overall draft pick. Yeah.
But because they lost, they're not guaranteed the number two draft pick because there's expansion teams.
Right.
So the commentators are saying they haven't listed this out officially. There's supposed to be some update possibly in April June. at the end of the PWHL season, they're supposed to make it known what that process is like. But there was some thought that maybe the expansion teams will pick before Seattle gets to pick.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Which means fighting for that first draft spot is actually, you know, I mean, you're still going to pick in what, the top five or the top four. But like, there's going to be a lot of talent available. But yes, at the same time, like, they really control their destiny. And you could hear on the broadcast, you could hear a collective groan when Hillary Knight missed her second attempt.
Yeah.
Her first attempt was beautiful. Mm. But they were even saying that they had watched the Torrent players practice some shootout stuff the day or two before, and the defensive line was actually had a higher percentage, and they were wondering if they were going to see more defenders taking. And so they only ran up one other defender.
Yeah.
But like, they just need a score. They need like a pure,
yeah,
score.
Well, they traded away. high scorer.
A good team. Not like a team that needed help.
No. Very interesting. You know,
totally. Yeah. I mean, some of these trades you're always like, what's the conversation? Like the Valkyries trade, like what's going on? What are the conversations we're not privy to?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Was it? Yeah. But anyways, you could hear a collective groan when she missed, because the next, I can't remember her name, but the next player up was also on her second penalty, and she has, I think, the highest shootout percentage maybe in the league. Mm-hmm. And she missed her first attempt, so you're like, well, this is gonna be possibly game over, and it was game over.
And then it was. So they will be picking high up in the draft. We don't know exactly how high yet. And stay tuned in the show. We're gonna talk more about the Torrent season and kind of pick that apart and talk a bit more about the gold plan and what to look forward to next season as well.
One thing, just because we're not going to talk about this in our segment, our round table, but I was just looking at those numbers again, and the league was split on attendance numbers. So four teams were above the average and four teams were below. Guess the two lowest average attendance teams.
Oh, actually Boston, I think, is one, right? Mm-hmm. Is Boston one? And they're like the top of they're like a very good team. Boston is low, and then who else would be low?
I said it already.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Boston and
New York.
So to your point, mm-hmm, both of those teams don't play
in the city.
Really in the city. And they both don't play at the same arenas as their men's teams.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I think
makes a difference.
Totally. So I wonder, like, what, you know, I we could probably find it pretty easily, but like, what were the numbers? You know, didn't they sell out Madison Square Garden?
They did.
They played there. The Torrent were a part of that game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think they played in Boston as well, and it was maybe a sellout.
They had a really big crowd then. Yep. I mean, this is the same old story, right, Jeff? Like, this is the story that's been going on for years and years, is like, you're going to complain about when people don't show up. You're going to say that it's the fault of the athletes. You're going to say that it's the fault of the game, or nobody cares about the league, when, you know, really it's about giving them the space that they deserve and making it, you know, a good experience, and, you know, giving them the opportunity to sell these bigger places out. And then they do, typically.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. Well, do you want to talk about the storm?
Oh, did you see?
Okay, so I have to start this with a personal story, which is that my husband's aunt lives in the Bay Area, has always lived in the Bay Area, is a huge basketball fan. She grew up playing basketball pre-Title IX, and she loves to text me about basketball. And so she was super excited about, she typically watches NBA in college, but she's gotten really into WNBA lately. And I think because the Valkyries is part of it. And so she was really excited that the Storm and the Valkyries were playing. And she was like texting me. As I said, I was out on a weekend away. So I wasn't watching the game, but she was texting me highlights as it was happening. So I did get that information. And I just want to say, like, that was really exciting for me and wonderful. But we did get to see this brand new class of Storm players for the first time go down to Valhalla to play the Valkyries, which includes now former Storm player Gabby Williams, who actually did not play. She sat, which is interesting. I have a lot of takeaways. You know, we saw an interesting starting lineup. Jade Melbourne did get the start at point guard. Natisha Heidemann is out on injury, which is interesting. Not something that I knew about before. Flaje Johnson, Stephanie Dolson, Dominique Malanga, and Lexi Brown were the other starters. It was a very, very tight game. It really went back and forth during that first quarter. Then the Storm really kind of showed up and out in the second quarter. They ended up that first half 41-33. So they had a pretty great lead going into halftime. Then the Valkyries kind of turned it back around in that third quarter. Storm went into the fourth with just a 2-point lead. Sadly, somehow we saw a Storm, very familiar Storm story, play out with a fourth quarter loss. Not just a fourth quarter loss, a very last second loss, you know, which I'm kind of scratching my head, like, how did this happen when we have basically an entirely new team, an entirely new coaching staff, you know, and yet this curse of losing right at the last second is back with us. But yeah, I was a little surprised by that Natisha Heidemann injury. Also, they're clearly not rushing Katie Lou Samuelson or Jordan Horston back. They were still both on the injured list. So, you know, that lineup was an interesting one. The other thing that was of note, Sonia Roman did not play Jaylen Brown, one of the Jaylen Browns, the rookie who we got to talk with last week. And that was kind of interesting to me that she was the only one that she didn't play. Other folks said Elle Ladine even got a few minutes.
6 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she was clearly also, you know, this is a preseason game. This is her first as a head coach. This is a brand new team. She was playing around with the lineup. So that might explain some of the losing that lead at the very end. But what did you have thoughts about, Jeff?
I thought it was interesting, the minutes. She kind of spread out the minutes.
She really did.
Quite a bit. You know, I think a lot of people say, what are these preseason games? Like, why do they matter? You know, often in college, it's about the same. You have 2 to 3, maybe, kind of exhibition preseason games. But like, yeah, they ran in a way that I have not seen the Storm run.
Definitely. It was fast.
And there was a lot of freedom. it felt like for them to just like make plays. And I don't know if a little bit of it was like, hey, we're all figuring this out on the fly. Like, let's just figure it out in a game. But like when you look at the breakdown of minutes, like Van Sluten had 1 minute less than Flage.
Yeah.
You know, Dom didn't play, you know, so it just is like, she only played 21 minutes. So it's like,
I think I don't nobody know. Played more than like 21, right?
23, 25. Yeah. Lexi Brown played 25.
Yes, which is interesting.
Yeah. She looked actually like she was having fun, which was enjoyable to see after we had that, you know, press conference and she kind of smiled. I mean, after, I think at the end of last year, people were like, is she okay? And I didn't know that she was, you know, really dealing with Crohn's at the level she was dealing with. So like, I think there was a lot maybe going on there, but yeah, she looked like she was having fun. I was like, yeah, real surprised by how the breakdown of minutes, like that's a true preseason exhibition kind of game. So I don't care about the score. But like, I was also, you know, all these injuries.
Yeah. Starting off the season with a very long injury list.
Yeah. And, you know, people are crafty with how they release their injury report. You know, we found out about Ezzie's injury the day of the press conferences. They just kind of slid it out there. We both looked at each other like, why do they have all these players coming out for these press conferences when, like, at least six of them aren't going to make the team?
Yeah.
With all these injuries, they need bodies.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'm a little, actually a little surprised, like, Davis and Ladine didn't get more run just to save. Like, why? We don't want people to get hurt. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this week's game, Wednesday the 29th, is going to go, this second preseason game. And whether that lineup will be different. And again, you know, the sense we've been getting from Coach Roman is that, you know, she wants this to be a really kind of egalitarian team, right? Like, she wants everybody to be able to do everything and to, you know, feel like they're really important. And one way to do that is to really spread out the minutes. And it is a thing that's very opposite of the way that Noelle Quinn coached. And, you know, that was very much like the rookies barely played, right? Like maybe Nika Mule or Jordan Horson got a few minutes at the end of games. Like, that was, and sometimes, you know, to the detriment. So it'll be interesting. Definitely, you know, we might be seeing some short-term contracts, I guess, if these injuries are not actually in the way, moving in the way that maybe they were insinuated that they, totally. they were. Totally. So we'll see about that. I did say I was really excited to see Dom Malanga make one 3-point shot. It was a great one. Overall though, the 3-pointers were just not there for the Storm. And that is concern.
Well, I mean, Flage, I mean, the one thing I would say is Seattle, I mean, Golden State Valkyries, you can say you're building a roster, you're doing all this stuff. Like, that was a terrible trade. let's just call it what it is.
We still don't understand it.
Well, it's just a terrible trade. Like, Flage and Suarez were on the court at the same time. And there was the talent gap is huge there. And that's no disrespect to Suarez. Like, she's a great player. She might actually be a better long-term player.
Right.
In some certain ways. But like, just the freedom and the athleticism. I don't know if you saw Flage's step back three.
Yes.
I mean, that is...
We're waiting to see. Yes.
No, but
the talent is there.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Jewel Lloyd, after, like, seeing... Like, you watch players on TV, and then you see them playing a game, and then you see them in practice. And there's, like, these different intricacies. Like, Jewel Lloyd is a very good one-on-one player. And that year she broke the scoring record or had the scoring title.
Yeah.
She could like shoot from anywhere. They had no one else on the team. So a lot of bad shots, yeah. but like yeah. she made a lot of them. Flage, that was impressive.
Gives you that.
Oh yeah. yeah. Like she can, like if you need a bucket.
Yeah.
She can get you a bucket.
Yeah.
And not afraid as a rookie to be like, give me the ball. I'll go get a bucket.
Yeah.
So like, oh, thank God we have someone who like, we're not going to dance around at the end of the shot clock. Like, yeah. what are we going to do? Right.
100%. We do need that. And I think she is one that is going to be her role, right? Like that is definitely going to be her role. And between, even just between her and Dom, like that was sure. an exciting like pairing as well. And, you know, we saw so many great rebounds. We saw a ton of great rebounds from the Storm and
without Ezzy or Jordan.
Yes. So you know, I was really pleased with Dom's game. She is, you know, last year we were saying like, okay, our little pony is getting broken in, and she is here. She's here now. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen this season. You know, she had 10 points on the game, 20 in 20 minutes. That's not bad. That's not
bad. And yeah, I think they're like, they're on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
We'll see what that means, but
yeah. Dom at least they had 5 rebounds, 2 offensive, 3 defensive. Flage had 3 defensive rebounds as well.
Yeah. It's
pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sold still on Jade Melbourne. We'll see.
I like her.
We'll see.
We'll pick that up another time. I like
her. I want to see what she does. I want to see what she does in the next game.
She hit a 3. That was like.
Yeah. She did.
Sue Bird. Range.
She was playing with confidence. She was definitely playing with confidence on the floor in terms of being that true point guard and like calling the plays, and like you could see her kind of running the floor in a way that she didn't
totally
when she was here 2 years ago. And yeah, so I think it'll be interesting to watch which kind of combinations come out this week. And hopefully, you know, I mean, there's just still so much up in the air. And then you've got, hopefully Natasha's injury isn't bad. Hopefully they're just kind of resting her. But then you've got, you know, Jordan and Katie Lou coming back hopefully very soon.
From major injury. Yep.
Yeah. And then you've got Ezzy, you know, who will come back at this point kind of after the first quarter of the season. Hopefully. And those are just like huge game changers too, right? So yeah, I mean, this poor coach Roman is really coming in having to play some 3D chess, I think, in terms of like looking ahead and figuring out this roster.
Totally. Well, we'll know more after Wednesday. I think the real test is that home opener.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited that this team is back. It's fun to see the Storm play basketball again.
Real basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. What happened this weekend over at University of Washington on that softball diamond?
I mean, we... Yeah.
They had a 3-game homestand against UCLA.
UCLA's good.
Yeah, we were going in last week. We were talking a bit about how, you know, UW had the capacity to be kind of top of the Big Ten, even though they lost to Oregon, and now they fell 3 more games, swept by UCLA.
I mean, UCLA's good. They had, it was a beautiful weekend.
Mm-hmm. Great days for some softball.
Oh yeah. I was so bummed we weren't able to go in person. You know, they had like 5,700 fans show up.
That's which amazing.
Which it's not, there's, you know, it's not a huge facility. So like, that's a great Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night, they were, you know, was the game that they were the most competitive. They almost, you know, came back. I think at the end of the day, UW is going to be kind of kicking themselves that they went to Oregon and allowed. I think if they play Oregon here or they play Oregon another three games, you know, it's a different story, but they just went, they're going to kick themselves that they lost those games because they, you know, they were the top of the Big Ten. Now they're fourth in the Big Ten. Nebraska, UCLA, Oregon are ahead of them. UW still has one more weekend. They're going to Ohio State this weekend, but they lost their ability to host the Super Regional. And so I just think it goes back that's to that, like, yeah, you fall out of the rankings. They dropped to 22nd. If they would have beaten Oregon and lost UCLA, maybe a different conversation. I mean, let's be real. UCLA is very good. UW can hang with them in a three-game series. You know, they should have stole one game.
Yeah. Split the series. There's been a lot of sweeps. Which makes sense in some ways, right? They have to play so quickly back-to-back. That has to be really hard.
But like UCLA, I mean, UCLA is a powerhouse, but like they have some depth that like UW's still a little young.
Yeah.
They're, you know, one of their top pitchers. She's really good, but you can't throw her every, they don't have a pitcher that you can throw every game and just, like be ready to roll. And so,
yeah. And that's really hard. I was going to say that. Yeah. When we talked to Heather Tarr, at the beginning of the season, you know, she really did talk about how this is a young team and, you know, building up that culture. And I'm sure having like a really strong start to the season like they had is going to be something that it is something that makes you want to stick around. Right. And like prove yourself again and come back. So, but dang, that UCLA is looking to be a women's sports powerhouse in multiple sports now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they're and I would say like the Big Ten is good, but the Big Ten softball is not the same as the Pac-12 used to be.
Yeah.
And so you know, it's kind of a bummer for UW. They'll probably still finish, like if they go and beat Ohio State, they'll probably still finish in the top 25. But you know, UCLA is gonna be a team. The road might go through UCLA.
Be fascinating. That wraps up our weekly recap of all of the games that happened this weekend. You're listening to The Forecast on KVRU 105.7 FM. Stay tuned. I will be back soon giving my hot take for this week, as well as having our roundtable discussion with Heather Koimunka and Ava Wood of 365 Hockey Girl to discuss the 2026 Torrent season. Hello, this is Maggie Mertens. You're listening to The Forecast here on KVRU 105.7 FM. Welcome back. I am going to give you my hot take now.
What is it, Maggie?
I have a very positive hot take, which is that, you know, I was kind of flabbergasted realizing that this past weekend there was a professional women's hockey game. There was a professional women's soccer game. And there was a professional women's basketball game happening all the same weekend. And it really drove home for me that we finally have year-round women's professional sports here in Seattle. And we are the only city in the nation to have the three major professional women's sports leagues here in the city. New York does have three teams, but two of them play in New Jersey. So let's be real. I do not think that counts. And so my hot take is that Seattle is literally the best city for women's sports in the country. And I am like so excited just looking back a little bit. Jeff, you and I have both been watching women's sports for a long time and thinking about, you know, those early days of Storm basketball, that was all we had. And it was June, July, and August, and that was it. And we now pretty much have one sport always in season. The ending of the NWSL calendar is the beginning of the PWHL calendar. And then we get this overlap with WNBA. NWSL goes on a little bit longer. But this is a long time coming, you know, from those early days of really only having maybe some summer games to watch, you know, or having to go down to Tacoma to see the rain play, you know, sitting in those old Key Arena seats. And Seattle has just really been through it. And I wanted everybody out there listening just to recognize this moment of how far we've come and like celebrate that. Seattle is so lucky to have these three teams all playing in professional arenas where their male counterparts play, even selling them out from time to time. And I just wanted to take a minute in the middle of a lot of, you know, bad news in the world and a lot of even, you know, inequitable news about women athletes all over, just to say that this is something super worth celebrating, worth supporting, and that we here at the Forecast are so happy to be a part of it. We're so happy to have a space here where we can continue to kind of build up this world of women's sports here in Seattle, make sure that we know that this is an ecosystem that all depends on each other and we all care about each other and keeping tabs on it and bringing others into it. So if you're new here, welcome. We hope the Forecast can be of use as you kind of, you know, build out your fandoms for these Seattle women's sports teams. And if you're old hat, you know, thanks for being here and sticking around because you helped build this place to be what it is. Yeah, Seattle, best city in the world, maybe the world, maybe the nation for women's sports, maybe the world. Let's just say it.
Be bold, be bold.
That's my hot claim take. It. We are so excited this week. As the PWHL's Seattle Torrent did wrap up their regular season games and are not headed into the playoffs, they did have some incredible successes throughout this inaugural season. And we wanted to take the time to really dig into that. We invited Heather Koimunka of the Hockey News and Ava Wood of 365 Hockey Girl up to the Forecast to engage in a little bit of a roundtable discussion, just talking all about what happened in this inaugural season for the Torrent. Today we have a very special treat. We're having a bit of a roundtable discussion to discuss the Seattle Torrent season, our first inaugural season here with a PWHL team, which has been, you know, full of ups and downs. And now that we're headed into PWHL playoffs, we wanted to bring back Ava Wood from 365 Hockey Girl and Heather Koimunka from the Hockey News. Thank you guys both so much for being here.
Thanks for having me back. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Amazing. So the Torrent, as we're recording this, there is one more regular season game. But I wanted to start with actually the Wednesday night game, which turned out to be extremely exciting. I think you both were there. So can you guys just give me the takeaways from both of you for what that game was like? Ava, do you want to start?
I can start. Yeah, I think the Wednesday game was super fun, especially because the night before, the Golden Knights actually beat the Montreal Victoires, which really turned up the heat in that gold plan race. If you recall, the gold plan is when after a team is eliminated from playoff contention, they have to continue earning points in order to earn the first overall draft pick. So basically, since Vancouver won, it was like so much pressure on Seattle Torrent to win that game. Torrent had never beaten the Minnesota Frost before, and especially it was kind of a redo of our home opener, if you recall, got shut out against Minnesota. So a lot of pressure on that game, but Torrent delivered, crowd was hype, we were partying in the stands, it was so fun.
Yeah, Barbie night did not disappoint, for sure. you know, also I feel like there was a little bit of deja vu from the previous game where look, those last 2 minutes, everyone's sort of like holding their breath, like, oh, please do not have this happen again where we're going to have to go to OT and then lose. And oh my gosh, I just was like, okay, just calm down. They can do this. They've got this. but it is exciting because that did mean that no matter what, they've locked down, you know, one or two draft pick. And I think that part is really amazing. And it was funny because after the game, you know, coach was sitting there and he said, now we can say we've beaten all the teams. And someone was like, excuse me, Vancouver? And he's like, dang it, you got me. Like, he was all excited because we finally beat the Frost. And he was like, oh no. So it was pretty funny, but it was a good game. I think, something about the team that never fails to just get me is they just don't give up. No matter what the season has been, they just have not given up. And that was true that night too. I mean, they were trying to score more. If they could have, they would have. So just a really fun game. Barbie night was fun. Ava and I got to be in the penalty box to watch warmups, which is also fun. So we had a good time. Good time that night.
I was wondering about that. I saw so many of you guys posting about being in the box. That was just before the game.
Yeah, just shout out to Women's Pro Hockey Seattle and Zoe Harris. She, as ambassadors for that, she's just so generous to us to invite us to things like that. So I just always like to give her a shout out because she's the reason that the PWHL is here. So shout out to Zoe Harris always.
That's incredible. Okay, so as you mentioned there, Heather, the goal plan has officially kicked in. Would you, Ava, mind just describing what the goal plan is? What are they still playing for in these last couple of games?
Yeah, so I think it's been fun because, you know, even though Torrent is at the bottom of the standings, the goal plan has really added so much excitement into this final week for us Torrent fans. And so basically it's an anti-tanking measure. So in other sports leagues, like after you're eliminated from playoff contention, maybe you don't really want to win games because the lower you end in the standings, the higher draft pick you can get. But with Torrent and PWHL, it's like you need to win your games at the end of the season so you can try to get the first overall draft pick. And especially for this upcoming draft, it's like a really, 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 really strong, exciting draft. Like to the point where I said this last time I was here. It's the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese draft. Like, it's of that magnitude, if not more. Amazing. I'm serious.
Amazing.
So,
all right, who are we looking for? Who are the Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark of the PWHL future?
I mean, it's Layla Edwards and it's Caroline Harvey. I mean, those are the two. And gosh, I'd be happy
Abby with either of them.
Gosh, I want Layla Edwards so badly. And her connection with Hillary Knight is one that I think would be really special on the Torrent too. So I've got that special little, like, crossing my fingers. Like that is it. Even at the game, there was somebody with a sign too that held up that was like, "We want Layla Edwards." Like, and what an amazing thing for Seattle as a city too. Like, I always think about there's players that just mean so much to a city. Like CJ is one of those, and I feel like Layla Edwards would be as well. Just a great addition to the city.
Who are you hoping for, Ava?
Is it bad that I like? I feel like I'm supposed to have an answer for this, but I feel like if I like hope for a player, we're like not gonna get
okay, them. That is fair. I was just fully like torn apart by the Seattle Storm draft for the same reason. So
yeah. No.
So it is fair to not wish for one. Especially when we know now that the Torrent is gonna get somebody high up, right? So I read this morning, I was looking at the Seattle Times sports section. I know, I'm sorry, but they had a column about, you know, it's hard to be excited about the Kraken because they've just never really delivered, haven't performed to the, you know, expectation. But I have this sense that even though the Torrent had, you know, a rough season in terms of where they've ended up, that there actually is a lot of hope and excitement for the next season or, you know, the future of this team. What are you guys looking forward to in terms of next season?
You know, I like the comparison because it is two completely different situations, I feel like. And, you know, for me, this season was so much about them being here. That in itself is the success. They are here. The numbers never dwindled of attendance. You know, at the start of the season, I was posting attendance and there were so many comments that were like, "Oh, but what will happen at the middle of the season? Will you still be posting numbers then?" So every game I have posted those numbers because I think it's so important to point that out. So that is the success. So to bring so much talent in, that is a big ask. And it's a big ask to have them come together to gel. So I'm looking forward to more of that next season. And we're watching that kind of happen right now as the lines are changing and rookies are getting more starts and more time. And I think too, there's so much pressure in a first season that I know that weighed on them. It had to have. So for next season, they've got a little bit of the pressure off. Like, look at right now, right? The pressure is off except for the gold plan. They're doing amazing. you know, they're a little looser, they're a little lighter, they're scoring more, they're going to the net more. I think there's so much to be said for that. So next season, more gelling, more of the systems being in place, more of just the familiarity of them being together and hearing each other's voices on the ice too.
Yeah, and for me, I think another big factor was the Olympics. Like, this year, like, when you look at Hillary and I, like, yeah, the Olympics was kind of the big thing this year. And now that she's, you know, retiring potentially from, you know, like, U.S. National team or what have you, like, everybody's main focus next year is going to be the Walter Cup.
Yeah.
And another key thing that makes Torrent different from Kraken is, like, you have to give Seattle fans hope, right? That's, like, Seattle fans will say, oh, we're used to having a team be bad, but there's always that feeling of hope, yes. Right? And with PWHL compared to NHL, it's so much of a smaller league. This upcoming draft is stacked. You can really rebuild a team or dramatically change a team very quickly as compared to the NHL. So that's why there's so much hope around this team. And in addition to, like you said, the attendance, the crowds, just the vibes. There's so much hopeful vibes and like optimism around this team.
Absolutely. I think like the vibes have been impeccable for this team this season, and I have told so many people about it just like in casual conversation, right? Especially folks who are like, oh, I don't really know, or oh, I don't like, you know, I don't even like hockey, and I'm like, but just try. Just go and try, because you will find something different here, you know. Anybody want to talk about their favorite moment of this inaugural season?
I think, you know what, honestly, number one is that first home game, to be honest, just the whole thing, because, you know, we walked in there and I got to my seat and I was immediately like emotional, just because it was such a long road to get here. And while we knew it was coming, there's something about it that just felt so very, very special. And even yesterday I was thinking like we're here, like this has happened, like it's finally real. And I think, you know, that was the moment where it was like, oh my gosh, it happened, even though there was so much leading up to it. But I think for me, that's like such a huge moment. I don't know, hard to top that one for me, to be honest.
How about you, Ava?
For me, it was the first ever Torrent home win, because I was looking forward to that home opener so much. But then honestly, like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was nervous. Like, I honestly was nervous about, like, we're not a Canadian market. Like, it's easy to look back now and say, oh, hey, Torrent has the highest attendance in the PWHL. That's something we can be really proud of. But, like, honestly, before that, I didn't know, like, okay, everybody's going to come to the home opener for sure.
Yeah.
How many people are going to come on later. Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And every Wednesday I've been at Climate Pledge Arena, there has been huge crowds.
Yeah.
And so to have them get that first home win on a Wednesday in front of the season ticket holders, in front of the people that are going to be there every night, like, it was so electric. Also, that game in and of itself was so hyped, because it was like they were down, you know, yeah. Power play, came back late. Like, it was just, it just felt so magical. And honestly, like, last Wednesday's game as well, when they got those goaltend points, like, something about the Wednesday game, so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the first goal too? Like, when we finally got to hear the goal song, it was like we had to wait like so many games before we finally got to hear the goal song. I think that's also special. And it was so loud when they scored, you couldn't even hear it anyway. It was like, could that be Misery Business? I think it is. So also, I love that too. That was really fun. The anticipation of that first goal and hearing the song.
Oh, I love that. I love that. How about a player who has surprised you guys this year? I think there was a lot of, you know, obviously there was a lot of excitement and attention on the fact that we were getting, you know, Captain America to come to Seattle. But I think, you know, obviously then she had to spend some time out, and we've also gotten to know so many other great, great hockey players here. Who has been just kind of like the highlight for you guys?
You know, I think Michaela Grant-Mintis is a big one for me, Bucky. I remember her first goal as a Torrent. The whole night she was really driving to the net. She wanted it so badly. And I had been watching her in practice. Just, she has so much energy, and she's just a complete engine that's completely going the whole time. She just never stops and she's always on, and she's just such a light and a presence for the team too. And I don't think that really like surprised me, but what was nice was seeing it on the ice and seeing it for our fans and our market. And I think she's someone who just deserves so much praise for her whole season. And, you know, she had that time where she had to be out because she was injured, and it was such a bad timing just because she had been really on a roll. But I think she's one that just, I think fans also saw her. And I think that was really special too, for the fans to get to see how she performs, because it's very impressive. So there's a lot of good players, but that one I think just pops to the front of my mind.
How about you? Yeah. Then for me, I have to give a shout out to two players. Sorry, I can't pick just one. Great. So the first one, Julia Gosling.
Yeah.
Julia Gosling, because as Seattle fans now, we're like, yeah, of course, Julia Gosling. Yeah. But like, this was a huge breakout year for her. Like, to be taken in an expansion draft from Toronto, where like, I'm pretty sure she grew up in Ontario. So now you're moving to this brand new city to have this huge breakout year, go to the Olympics. Like, she has just been so phenomenal for this team. I really hope we can keep her here in Seattle. And then also Hannah Murphy. Yeah. Just an outstanding season for a rookie goaltender to be so new to this league, right? Yeah. Play in front of these huge crowds, be outstanding. Like, I'm just so happy for her. So yeah, I think both of those players have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Her stats were insane. Like every game, I was like, wait, how many shots did she block? Okay. Any just final thoughts you guys want to share with Seattle sports fans about this Torrance season?
Just so thankful it's here. I mean, I can't say enough about just the fact that it's here. You know, we have there's so much talent on the team, and I hope that people watching aren't discouraged by the results this season, because having a lot of talent means it's extra hard to bring them together. And I think everyone thought because they had so much talent, it would be easy. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. The case is, you know, we have to get systems in place and we have to get these players all moving together. And, you know, one of the things that I had not thought about, but they do have to listen and they have to understand each other's voices. And when you've played with other, you know, players for 2 years, it's hard to break out of that too. So I think there's a lot of things that will change over the season, but we're extremely lucky to have them here, to have the players we do. Coach O'Rourke and the other coaches, they are fantastic. General Manager Megan Turner is fantastic. And I have just true faith in all of them that it's going to be a great off season with new draft picks and new players. And I think we're just have to hope that we protect the ones we want and that everything goes well with expansion. But I do have faith that it's going to be a really fun season next season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I still have to pinch myself that Seattle has a PWHL team, honestly, because I was such a big fan of the PWHL, even when it was all like on the East Coast. And I didn't really think Seattle even had a chance of getting an expansion team, to be honest. So for us to even have this team, for it to be as successful as it is, like connecting with community and just circling back to what you said, Heather, about so many kids in the stands, like for us as adults, like this is amazing. But just realizing like, hey, this is the beginning of something that's even way bigger than we even imagine right now.
Yeah.
So just savoring the moment and then realizing that we're part of something even bigger.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you both so much for all of your work over the season. I mean, it's thanks to people like you who have been covering the team too and bringing that news to everybody that the team, you know, has really had great attention on it all season. So Ava Wood, 365 Hockey Girl, you can find her on Instagram and TikTok and her newsletter as well, 365 Hockey Girl. And Heather Koimunka, you can find her amazing reporting on the Torrent at The Hockey News. Thank you guys both so much for being here. This is The Forecast. We'll be right back. Thanks again to Heather and Ava for joining us here on The Forecast to talk about the Torrent. I had one more thing I wanted to chat about this week, which is that Mary Kane, the runner who was considered probably America's best middle distance running potential several years ago, has a memoir that
is coming out today, Tuesday, April 28th, if you're listening to this on Tuesday. I had the opportunity to go down to Stanford Medical School, where Mary Kane is now a second-year med student, to chat with her about her book and do an interview there for The Guardian. That piece is online now. You can look it up. And I just encourage people to seek out this book, especially if you're a running fan. You know, I've written a lot about women's running over the years, including a book of my own, and just how much difficulty there is in this sport when we talk about gender and equality. And Mary Kane is one of those stories that is really heartbreaking, but also very illuminating. And I'm just really proud to have written a little bit about this, and that she has, you know, come around to be able to tell her own story and her own, in her own voice, of what really happened, you know, while she was training under Alberto Salazar at Oregon, or at the Oregon Project run by Nike, for several years, starting when she was 16 years old. So just really an incredible story about, you know, what it is really like to be a young elite athlete, even in today's world. And I do, I encourage folks to seek that out and really get more of a full story, especially if you're interested in running or in, you know, the gender equality within sport and really complicating that narrative and learning more about it. Lastly, we will be watching many more seasons. We will be watching many games this week. The Storm will play again tomorrow, Wednesday, April 29th. They have their home opener, though, on May 8th. So if you're looking ahead to buying tickets, that will be the one to look for. Seattle Reign plays an away game May 1st. They are back in town May 10th, back at Lumen Field. The Majestics will play Saturday, May 2nd at home against LA, and the Tempest, the ultimate Frisbee team who plays over at Interbase Stadium, will be playing May 9th. That is their last home game. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. Our show airs Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. You can also find us on your favorite podcast feeds. I'm Maggie Mertens, your host. We're produced by Jeff Scott Shaw. Thanks so much to Crystal Fincher, Shannon Chang, and the rest of the staff at KVRU for broadcasting our show. And thanks so much to Heather Koimunka and Ava Wood for joining us. We want to hear from you as we get The Forecast off the ground and keep going into this three-team city show. Please reach out with story ideas, comments, questions, or hot takes of your own at theforecast@kvru.org on email or on Instagram at Seattle Women Sports. For more information on us or how to support the station, head over to kvru.org. We will be back with more women's sports next week.